This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Deadly night in Philadelphia. Six were shot, four are dead in a mass attack.
Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw says all they know at this point is that a person decided to leave their home and target individuals, shooting multiple people.
This male was wearing a bulletproof vest with multiple magazines in the vest. He also had a scanner and an AR-style rifle and a handgun underneath his body. He was taken into custody.
Taken into custody in an alley without incident. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
While you may like to ooh and ah over fireworks, your pet is likely not a fan.
It's the 4th of July, and that means fireworks. But for pets, especially dogs, the loud noises can be terrifying. Veterinarian Dr. Anne Hohenhaus is at New York City's Schwarzman Animal Medical Center.
Pick a quiet place in your house for your dog to be during the fireworks. So that might be the big walk-in closet with no windows. It could be an interior bathroom.
She says exercise your dog to make it exhausted so that during fireworks, the dog's already tired. Matt Piper, CBS News.
With the sweltering heat, emergency workers are busy. KEYE-TV reporter Betty Cross is in Austin.
The number of calls for help keeps going up, and July isn't expected to bring much relief.
We've certainly seen the uptick in the heat-related calls.
Captain Darren Nowak says all those calls take their toll on medics, but the most grueling are emergencies in parks and green belts.
Having to hike out in the green belt and then basically carry someone out of that environment.
Roger Federer is back at Wimbledon, but he's not competing. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
Federer is being honored at a short ceremony just before play begins. The Swiss national won 8 of his 20 Grand Slam singles championships on Wimbledon's grass courts. That's the most ever by a man, and it's a record Novak Djokovic will try to equal this year.
Israel launched its most intense military operation in the occupied West Bank in nearly two decades. BBC correspondent Yolanda Nell.
We know from the Palestinian Red Crescent now that it was about 500 Palestinian families that were allowed to leave the camp earlier, although some people told us that men and teenage boys were detained by Israeli soldiers, that they were kept behind. My colleagues still in Jenin say they've been seeing more Israeli military jeeps now heading towards the camp. That has raised expectation that there could be a night of intense fighting ahead.
Hong Kong police have accused 8 self-exiled pro-democracy activists of violating its harsh national security law. They've offered $127,000 rewards each for information leading to their arrests. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the happier, happy hour. It's getting happy up in here right now. Live in the WAUK studios, not just Crudy, not just Dom, but we've got Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, welcome back to the second greatest radio show ever.
You're gosh darn right. It's good to be back, guys.
Hey, Maggie, thanks for joining us.
Maggie, there are some interesting legal rulings that have come down from the U.S. Supreme Court. And for those unfamiliar, Maggie does her own show right here on the Civic Media Network, 6 to 7 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show. Give it a listen. But not usually on Fridays, but we've called you off the bench. We need you. We need you on this wall, Maggie. Explain the rulings. Let's start with the student loan relief ruling. The U.S. Supreme Court, in my understanding, the ruling was 6-3. Normal cast of characters, conservatives, all six voted to overrule what the executive's ability to forgive student loan debt.
Yeah, this was a pretty straight up separation of powers, sort of balance of powers question. Biden did this ostensibly under the HEROES Act. I think one of the interesting things is that we just heard, I think a couple of hours ago, that he's going to try it again under the Higher Education Act of 1965. So your listeners may be thinking, like, wait a minute. You try it this way, they say no, you actually get to try again. Yes. The question, this is... basically, the technical term here is we're talking about administrative law. So when a legislative body, whether it's your state legislature or the Congress, adopts a law, they can't specify in the law exactly everything that the law could possibly apply to, nor how it's going to precisely apply. That's what the executive branch does. They execute the laws. So in this case, Biden had taken a fairly...
Aggressive
read of the HEROES Act to put, which basically said in times of emergency, the government can take extraordinary actions to sort of manage the educational system. And you can see, why would it be called the HEROES Act? Well, it's about wars. Okay, yeah, I can see some federal government expansion of powers during wartime if we needed certain skill sets or things like that, right? So this was a pretty aggressive read, and basically the question was, like, do you have sufficiently enough of an emergency that it qualifies under the language of that act? I actually think, despite the depravity of the outcome, the impact here, that the Supreme Court may have had the law here correct. I think looking at looking at this question under the Higher Education Act of 1965, you're going to be doing the same thing, that it will be challenged again, which I think is genius politics, by the way.
Keep it in front of everybody.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, keep going at it until you force Congress to act, right? Like, because Republicans refuse to address the issue of student loan debt, which is nothing short of a crisis, right? It's like over $3 trillion or something like that. And remember, you know, this wasn't, for, you know, student debt forgiveness for everybody for everything, right? It was income delimited. I've digressed. Getting back to the law. The question will be, does the language of the Higher Education Act of 1965 provide the executive branch and therefore the president enough power to do this under that act? So he's going to try it again. It will be challenged again. My opinion is Biden should keep doing this until the GOP in Congress or in states really does something to deal with the student debt crisis in this country. And I've heard a lot of conservative commentators today sort of vilifying.
Yeah, don't take the loan if you can't pay it back.
Right. Not just that. And then vilifying these institutions of higher education, right? Oh, yeah. By saying they have these bloated endowments. Well, that's true for a very small percentage of universities. Like, you think of the Ivies. Yes, they have endowments that outpace the GDP of some small nations, right? It just seems super disingenuous to me for Republicans to take that kind of posture when, if you take our state, for example, Republicans aren't funding the university system here in Wisconsin, which used to be one of the systems of highest esteem and most affordable and accessible to working families here in Wisconsin. And they're gutting that system slowly but surely, drip, drip, drip. And lest I forget, of course, Governor Walker, remember what he tried to do? He slipped into this budget where he actually was trying to take out of state law the language that described the Wisconsin idea.
Oh, I recall.
Right? Education for education's sake, so that we have an informed populace and citizenry.
Republicans don't want informed populace.
No, clearly not. So that was the student loan forgiveness policy. And I want to say this here on this show. I think this would be a really good place to say this. So I have now worked in government for nearly 12 years. I spent the first, like, seven, 8 years of my career in private practice. I was a single person entirely on my own. I never got married. While I was making very good money, it was extraordinarily expensive where I was living, right? Like in New York and Chicago, I had to travel quite a bit, most of it covered by work. And I don't mean this to be, oh, poor me, I had this great privilege. I did. It was wonderful. But it's not like I was walking away from that with, like, cha-ching, I'm good for the rest of my life. So when I went into public service, I had to rejigger my entire lifestyle. I had gotten burned in the 2008 crash really bad. So I was, like, just barely solvent, right? So one of the things that wasn't impacted by this decision is the public service student loan forgiveness program. And I actually applied for that. You have to have 10 years of continuous service in public service to qualify for this loan program. So I applied this past fall, and my loans were just forgiven. I didn't have much left. It was maybe like $8,000 or $9,000. But it was forgiven just a few months ago. And I had a fixed loan rate. I had managed it really well. It was a very low interest rate. Nothing that was going to hamper my monthly budget, right? But it was like, I couldn't believe how overwhelmingly relieving that was.
Yeah.
Just the mind space that those things occupy. And so I think one of the really, really dastardly parts of today, regardless of what the legal merits are here, is the harm that this is really going to cause, not just to pocketbooks, right? And are people going to be able to make rent? But, like, the psychological whiplash of what's going on here is just extraordinarily callous. So, again, I think Biden, keep going back at this. Force the GOP and the Supreme Court to keep telling middle America no, and that we don't really care about you.
Maggie, I was supposed to get some money from the GI Bill, student loan reimbursement. I never did. Since we've been doing this show, about 12 years now, since we've been on this show, I've repaid my student loans. And it wasn't the well-paying job that is the devil's advocate, but, you know, life allowed me to finally get caught up in my
40s. Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm 46.
Yeah. I had a mass comm degree, which, I mean, nearly worthless. And I got to tell you, I didn't have that much debt. I only borrowed 10 grand, but by the time I started paying it back, it was like 16 grand. And it took me the next 20, 15 years of my life to pay it back.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a better shot of paying off the mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, and you can't strike them in bankruptcy. When did that come around? Right. That wasn't always the case, right?
No, that's been around for a couple of decades at least. Yeah. But that would be an interesting origin story, wouldn't it? Like, how was that exception made? Because it would seem to me that of all of the debt that someone might need most resolved in bankruptcy, it would be that, oh my gosh, I got an underwater basket weaving degree and it cost me 200 large at Yale.
And I'm less sympathetic to that circumstance than the guy that comes back from the Army and goes to the University of Phoenix, which gives him a degree that effectively doesn't qualify him to do anything. You know, if you went and got an under, if you were dumb enough to get a mass comm degree from anywhere, that's on you. But
well, I think what you're pointing
I draw a distinction to the intent of the universities themselves.
Well, this
if
is
you the call the University of Phoenix a university.
This is the tension point, right? If we accept the Wisconsin idea as true, right, that education, even in not marketable, not bankable fields, is valuable, that then that leads you to a place where government does have a very clear role in subsidizing higher education, because not all function areas are equally needed at different points in an economic cycle, right? But yet we need people that understand British romantic poetry from blah, blah, blah. It deepens our understanding of humanity. That's why things are called, I've studied the humanities, right? Like the education and
welding.
Only welding. Well, and this is what Walker tried to do with the Wisconsin idea, was basically say, no, we're creating labor widgets.
Right.
And that's all that matters. So if you just start with the first principles here, if we all can say that we want an informed population.
Can't say it. They don't want it.
Well, that's my point. That's why I say start with the values, because if you're at least going to front like you care like that, well, then if education for education's sake matters, then that leads us to certain policy conclusions. But what we're always trying to peel back here on Civic Media is separating the performative from the reality. And the reality here is, if you look at GOP policies, what they say is they want to create us all into little perfect labor widgets.
Goes nice on a spreadsheet.
It does. Excel that, man.
We are the devil's advocates, often performative. Especially when
rarely
we got...
Rarely informative.
Come on. When we got Maggie Dahl, that's not the
Except
case.
When I'm all right.
It might rhyme and be clever, but it's not true. It's not true, I assure you.
Not at all.
Just because we're going into the 4th of July does not mean that the news stopped. And we've got two U.S. Supreme Court rulings. We've got another one to come back with. Maggie, give them a little preview. The 30-second bite.
Yeah, well, we've got to talk about the fact that apparently it's okay to refuse services to people because they're gay.
But only if you sincerely believe it religiously.
You know, religiously, I really hate, you know, people that are racists, misogynists, and just general, you know, dumb people. Can I just be like, no dumb people?
That's where we're going, I guess. Folks, stick around. We are the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy Friday.
No dumb people. What are you going to do, Doug?
I didn't say no short people.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy, a chance of showers and storms overnight with a low of 69 degrees. On your Independence Day, showers and storms in the afternoon, and some could be severe. 93 degrees for the late day high. Storm chances will continue into primetime fireworks time Tuesday night. It's 66 at our studios.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
2.7 WMDX.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
It's radio show, Makey Dawn, host of the Makey Dawn Show here on Civic Media at 6 o'clock. Well, she does the best of on Fridays, but she joined us today live, and we do appreciate it. Lots of news coming out, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court. 303 Creative LLC versus Elenis. Is that how you pronounce Elenis? Elenis. 6-3, conservatives now say that you can refuse to do a website for what? Same-sex couples.
Yeah.
Now, let's start with the basis on here. Some of the reporting I've seen, Maggie, is that this wasn't really actually, no, like, factual. Like, this wasn't a thing. Like, she did not, it didn't happen, but they went to court anyway. How if that's the case, how would something like this even get that far?
You got me.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Because a bunch of conservatives wanted it to happen. Yeah, the concept that we're talking about here is ripeness. So, yes, on its face, if this woman, like, let's just take her claims as genuine. The fact that she had yet to be legitimately asked to build a website for a gay couple means that she actually hasn't been harmed, which means, yes, you can see that there's a conflict or controversy, but it hasn't yet ripened into a real conflict or controversy yet, thus depriving the plaintiff here of standing. That's what all of the federal courts should have done. And sent it back and avoided this. But no, not this court. And I just want to make this little observation, Dom. It was interesting to me. So these were the last three cases that they dropped, right? So we've got the student loan forgiveness program gone. Also today, you can discriminate and refuse to provide services to gay couples, okay? And yesterday was affirmative action gone. Why that grouping? Okay.
The timing.
Yeah. Why the affirmative?
4th of July, sister.
Oh, yes. I hit that. That was my first thing. You should totally listen to my show, The Makey Dawn Show, available on civicmedia.us. I started with, isn't it interesting we're about to celebrate Independence Day, and here we have a group of white male oppressors telling people that aren't white or male what they can do and can't do.
And right? Clarence Thomas.
And, well... That is a whole trip. But no, what I meant was why these two cases on Friday and the affirmative action case yesterday, right? There's a whole bunch of permutations of these three cases, right? You could have done two yesterday and one today. Well, what are the two cases that weren't put together? That would be the affirmative action case and the you can discriminate against gay people case. And I got to thinking, well, why is that? Well, maybe we wouldn't want to have two cases dropped on the same day whose rulings are as follows. You got to treat everybody the same. It's okay to discriminate against gay people because those are the two rulings. The affirmative action case, wiping that out, central premises, you got to treat everybody the same. And one day later, the Supreme Court said, nope, you don't. That to me, like, boiled down, distilled to its most base,
Mickey, does
that's
it,
what happened.
Does it matter in your opinion that the basis is religious based? That, you know, I believe this thing, and so my heartfelt faith allows me to think this way or tells me to think this way, and therefore I don't want to go against my religious beliefs. Is that the premise here? I mean, is that what allows this kind of thing? Because when I'm, of course,
yes,
as the atheist, where do I fall in that? Then how can I? Does that mean I can discriminate against anybody at any time in any way because I don't believe in any of those things? Or do I have to articulate a specific I don't like tall people kind of a thing?
So yes, there are a number of classes that are called protected classes under our Constitution. Race, gender, the nationality, country of origin, a bunch of things. And yeah, what this seems so problematic is exactly this. Where are we now drawing the line? Could all gay people now say, you know, that work maybe in like the fashion industry, I'm just not going to sell to people who are straight, and I'm not going to serve straight people. Like, I'm always asking people, like, compared to what, right? Like, what's your baseline? When you talk about affirmative action, like, well, what's the baseline? Well, the baseline is we assume that the good way to do it, like the thing that we need to preserve, is the whiter version of it, right? That's what they just said yesterday, is like, it should just be whiter or Asianer. No, actually, we should be taking an affirmative step to undo, you know, like 400 years of oppressive systems that very court helped perpetuate time and time and time again.
But what is the limiting factor? Does interracial marriage, is that also something?
Miscegenation? Yeah, I mean, like, hey, Clarence, might that be a problem for you?
Is that, could someone then now deny services to an interracial couple based on their quote-unquote religious beliefs? I mean,
given that Scientology apparently is a legit religion and gets a tax exemption for it, I think we should just invent a religion and then start discriminating against all cisgender white.
That's the whole point, because and that's the thing about the religion, because there's an infinite number of religions. Because it's a religion, it's a faith, you can come up with whatever the hell you want. And whatever the hell you want, you can write it down in a piece of paper, and if people show up on Sunday and chant it and sing it with you, apparently that allows you, it gives you permission
to discriminate. Christianity.
So can then only Christianity? Can
it
we
is
then?
Truly, because even the Jews believe that abortion is acceptable. Life does not begin until the first breath. It's not a thing. Abortion's not a thing in Judaism. Christianity. Abrahamic religion.
Can the gay business owner then deny services to the Christian?
The breeders,
the Christians, or whatever the case may be. They would come out.
Where does this lead us? Right. That has to be the question that's asked. That's why, like, the language of the dissents here are extraordinary in all of these cases. And I said yesterday on my show, and I'm going to repeat it here now, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent in the affirmative action case is 30 pages long. It should be required reading for every American.
I heard you do some of the reading last night.
I tried to. It was hard.
Emotional stuff.
It's so gross what they're doing.
Come back with us, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday. We air grievances. Having Maggie Dodd in the WOC studios ain't one of them.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. A mass shooting in southwest Philadelphia. KYW-TV's Siafa Lewis is in the King Sesi neighborhood where the violence took place.
Six total people shot. All the males. Four are deceased. They're between the ages of 20 and 59. Two juveniles are hospitalized in stable condition. One of them is only 2 years old.
A suspect is in custody. Fireworks may be fun for humans, but scary for dogs. Miranda Workman is with the ASPCA.
They actually want to play some music, white noise, a fan, something to make sure that there is ambient noise within the home that might drown out some of that exterior sound.
It is broiling in Las Vegas, Nevada. Temps could go up to 113. Dr. Jay Coates with a reminder, don't go barefoot.
What we've already seen, too, in the last couple of days are people think they can make it across the asphalt barefoot.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition going into the 4th of July weekend. A lot of lost fingers this weekend. Be careful out there, people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We are in the midst of the happy hour. And we got Maggie Dawn here, and that makes me happy. So does cold beer and something on the grill.
Dave Matthews Band.
I got to admit, not my best Dave Matthews Band experience.
And you've been a bunch, right, Mike?
I have. Like six times?
I think I've seen him 3 times.
It's either... There are like 2 playlists. There are like the playlist of the, I mean, he played some of the favorites. I definitely knew, you know, a handful of the songs, like 5 or 6. But I've been to Dave Matthews concerts where I knew every song. That's not what happened last night for me. Must have some new material. I'm familiar with.
Here's something about the new album. That's right.
Everybody groans. Oh
no!
Let's go get a drink.
It was great, man. same thing. I mean, I knew some of the songs, but I was with the crew that knew all of them. And if I didn't know, I just kind of lean in. And they'd be singing it.
That's the best part.
Watermelon celery,
singing and dancing. There's nothing better in the summertime, baby.
I tell you what. Let's take some calls. People want to react to the U.S. Supreme Court findings. And probably say hi to Maggie Dunn, 844-967-2789. A friend of ours, Dana from La Crosse, God's country. Say hi to Maggie Dunn.
Hey, Dana.
Good afternoon, everybody. Maggie, I'm really enjoying your show as well. So I'm glad to have you all on the same show today. Yeah, you betcha. Happy 4th of July weekend, folks. Say, you know, with these decisions that are coming down, I don't think they really realize what they're setting up here. So you got the one today about the website designer. And then I believe yesterday, the one came down yesterday also about the postal worker who gets to exercise his religious work, his religious faith by not coming to work on Sundays. So conceivably then, I could be working somewhere. A customer could come in wearing a crucifix. I could refuse to serve that person. I would ultimately get fired. But then I could sue my employer for not allowing me to exercise my religious belief by refusing to, or not maybe my religious belief, but my belief by not serving someone who I think is a gullible rube.
What do you think? First of all, I'm putting up hashtag gullible rube. I'm looking at you, Mike Pence. But yes, like that's why I was trying to say you've got one ruling today, right, that says you can treat people differently based on their race or their sexual orientation or whatever nonsense sort of excuse that you can come up with and then call it religion and file for a tax exemption. And yesterday, in the same breath, when it comes to that same sort of question, just this time it'll help black people. A whole bunch of them are like, no, you got to treat them all the same. But it's not the same. Like, anyways, I couldn't agree with you more. We are on very thin logic ice and like righteousness ice, right? Where the court, and this is the thing, right? Like, these decisions that the court is making are huge, huge. Think about the cadence between like massive earth-shattering Supreme Court decisions before this particular court. It was like every few years there would be a big uproar. Now it's happening every single Supreme Court term.
And by that you mean they're overturning 40 years of precedent. Did they even try to meet the standard for why they should overturn the 40 years of precedent?
So there was an analysis in Dobbs where they go through. Like,
I wasn't actually talking about Dobbs in this case. I meant the affirmative action.
Yes,
you
I'm
continue.
Okay. I'm going to get there. I wanted to link that up because it's an interesting artifact of the affirmative
action.
See,
I thought
decision.
I'd deposit not just a quarter, but 50 cents all at once.
Uh-huh. Well, let me give you a dollar's worth. So, yeah, in Dobbs, Alito actually went to great pains to talk through the standard for reversing precedent. What was fascinating in the affirmative action case was that nothing is ever said. They never say we're explicitly overturning these prior cases. But the language that is used in the case is so broad that what has been said in that case is that all of the prior jurisprudence of the Supreme Court that permitted this to occur in the past, it was all wrong.
I thought Thomas, in his concurrence, effectively named the case and said, this overrules it.
But he didn't have enough of the court joining his opinion as a concurrence for it to be considered an explicit overruling of those prior precedents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
See, that's why we have you come by on a Friday.
Listen, every once in a while,
the rest
guys
of us
learn
are capable
a little thing or two.
Thinking that hard.
Maggie Dunn, the Maggie Dunn Show. Dana had a good point, but I think he brings an employment, you know, kind of an employment situation. This the Phillips, Jack Phillips, the guy who wouldn't bake the cake a few years ago, kind of set the baseline for this, right? He's the owner, right? This case,
and that was also a free speech case.
Yeah, the 303 Creative. She's
free
the
speech
owner.
Case.
Yeah, she's the owner. Well, what happens when an employee of an organization engages in this same kind of free speech by not serving someone who's a gullible rube wearing a crucifix and then gets fired?
Right.
Is there,
or like, when does an employee get to dictate it and when does the employer, like, who wins, right? Because, like, Hobby Lobby won't pay for birth control. That, remember the Hobby Lobby case? They were like, yep, Supreme Court, that's fine. You can do
that. But I'm a Satanist and we believe in contraceptive care.
So, like, this is what gets so absurd when you let religion start dictating laws. It's not a salient way to govern society. It's just not. That is for you and your household with your faith leader. It is not for a courtroom. It is not for a government. And that is fundamentally the problem.
Yes. Thank you, Maggie, for clarifying that.
And may I clarify, I'm not actually a Satanist, but I do play the devil's advocate occasionally on the radio.
It's like, and yet.
844-967-27.
All hail Beelzebub.
I got to point out this one little factoid. So Robin J. Voss has a business. It's called Robin J. Voss Enterprises. It had one of the PPP loans forgiven.
Big one.
Yeah, for $297,000.
Wow.
Okay. But yeah, you know, people with making $75,000 or less or up to $120,000, two different income targets in the Biden loan forgiveness plan. Like, good for me? Nope, but not for you.
Not
so fast.
Well, you're not expecting Maggie, consistent criticism, are you?
We talk about the Speaker of the Assembly, do you see his newest? Now he wants to go and start retracting grants given on minority criterion, grants of like $250 to $2,500 given to individual students, of some minority status. It's like, man, that seems really damn racist and vindictive.
Yeah. What were the numbers again? $250
up to $2,500.
Yeah, you know, stick it to them where it really hurts. Here's the other thing that the GOP adopted budget did from Wisconsin. They zeroed out all the funding that Governor Evers had proposed for the following things. Zeroed it out. Outpatient mental health treatment. Day drug addiction treatment. Suicide and crisis lifeline grants and suicide prevention programs. Zeroed the items out in the budget. I'm sorry, what?
Well, that's just a renewal of tradition. Let's not forget when it was Ag Secretary Brad Peff, he was denied confirmation because he apparently chastised Scott Fitzgerald for zeroing out the suicide prevention hotline for farmers.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's so callous. And if you're listening and you're conservative, I just zeroed out outpatient mental health, outpatient addiction treatment, suicide and crisis lifeline grants, and suicide prevention programs. Zero. Not like less. Zero. Here's the other thing. Facts. There have been 116 Supreme Court justices in this nation's history. Four of them have been non-white. Three of them are sitting on the court today. And of those 116, six of them have been women in the entire history of the country, and zero of them have been LGBTQIA. So, yeah, I think there's a legitimacy problem when the oppressors get to decide willy-nilly the rights of the oppressed. Because it's not working. You don't get to say on Thursday, treat everyone the same, and then on Friday, say, yeah, but except for the gays.
844-967-2789. Our pal Tom from L.A. Say hi to Maggie Dawn, Tom.
Hey, Maggie, what's going on? First off, we the people, all of us, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Sorry, Maggie, didn't mean to jump on you.
No, love it. It's good to hear your voice again, Tom.
You have excellent message discipline, Tom.
Absolutely. Second, I think there needs to be some either commercials from people in the listening audience, or someone needs to buy some ads on civic media to talk about exactly what Maggie just said. And there needs to be some billboards on the I-94 corridor going all the way to Eau Claire into Madison and Milwaukee about Voss's $297,000 forgiveness of the PPP loan. I mean, this is some big information that, I don't know, the person that runs against him should actually maybe bring up, or maybe the actual local media should talk about this. It really seems to me like there needs to be some sunlight in terms of what's going on out there with your guys' state legislatures, especially when they don't show up for work for, you know, 12
But Tom, here's the problem.
Of the year.
Tom, here's the problem. Gerrymandering, buddy.
Then I got to say one other thing for you, so I'm gonna, don't hang up on me.
Well, gerrymandering's the problem. Adam Steen almost beat Robin Voss in a Republican primary. Hell, Donald Trump came to town and endorsed like 20 minutes away from Robin Voss's district and couldn't beat the guy in the primary. Now, the candidate that they ran against him might have been completely unappealing and perhaps a white nationalist, but I don't know the man well. That's for others to decide. But here's the point. The maps are so cooked, so baked in the cake, Tom. It doesn't matter what they do. There's no accountability through elections. You can't throw the bums out. They're in bummy districts.
Well, hopefully that world's going to change real quick.
It's going to take years for that to sort out. And now we have these weird decisions from the Supreme Court about like sort of when they will get involved, but not directly. I mean, that was the independent state legislature case. And like, thank God they ruled the way that they did. But there's this weird caveat that Roberts put in there that opens the door potentially to federal review of state courts adjudicating the district drawing decisions. So that's the thing that I mean to say about the Supreme Court. Even the cases that were considered potential wins this year, right? Like the couple of Voting Rights Act cases, Louisiana and I think
Alabama,
the independent state legislature case and the Indian Child Welfare Act case. All of those cases had these little caveats baked into them that make me very, very afraid.
Tom, wait. Give Tom his second thought. Tom, be quick, man. We're running out of time.
Hello.
Tom, give the second thought. Quick, buddy.
Yes. GayAndLesbianPages.com, GLPages.com, if you actually want to do business with people who support gay rights and give money to people in our community.
Amen, brother.
Well, Tom, you know we've been a partner for a long time. We appreciate you calling and representing not just the leftist coast, but as an ex-Badger, expat, you know, kind of representing all of us in a certain way. Come back. Your phone calls, they're welcome here. 844-967-2789. We've got a fine guest in the Walk Studios. It's getting hot up in here.
Get hiccupy up in here.
Yes, it's the hoppy. I'm drinking the Booze Cruise. It's a IPA with sort of a fruity hint to it. Pineapple, mango from our, what's this place called?
Bobcraft.
I was there this morning.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy, a chance of showers and storms overnight with a low of 69 degrees. On your Independence Day, showers and storms in the afternoon, and some could be severe. 93 degrees for the late day high. Storm chances will continue into primetime fireworks time Tuesday night. It's 66 at our studios.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Stephanie Miller Show on Mad Radio, 92.7 WMDX.
The Devil's Advocate, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Yeah, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show hanging out. We'll take your calls, 844-967-2789. I also want to shout out Doc from Madison. Happy, happy birthday today. Maggie, before we get back to the lines, I want to get your opinion. Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Election Commission, Republicans playing some games there. What's your thought here? My understanding is she's still on the job. Why is Devin LeMahieu going down this road to try to, what, force her out? Is there any traction to this, you think?
Well, that depends. When does Janet get sworn in?
August 1st.
Right? So, I think it state law requires two-thirds of the election commission to forward the nomination onto the Senate for confirmation. The three Republicans voted for it. The three Dems abstained, so not two-thirds. I don't believe they've actually tried to take a vote to remove her on the Senate floor. And I don't know if the state laws actually say anything about removal of the elections director. Because remember, the Wisconsin Elections Commission came about because Republicans were really ticked off about the independent prosecutor investigation into Walker. And so they dismantled this prior agency and then like booted out its director. So like, here we are again. You know what I mean? It's sort of like
history repeats itself.
Oh man, come on, y'all. Like, get a new playbook. It's this thing again? I mean, for real, for real. It's just, this is sort of standard GOP Wisconsin politics. If it works for them, they'll do it.
But is there any consequence to it?
I don't really know. She's still in the job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the result of that DNR case, Mike.
The preen.
Yeah.
Here's the question before I so rudely interrupted twice. Yeah, but I forgot. Talk amongst yourselves.
A deep and well-pondered question. Thank you, Michael.
So I did want to point out, and I was saying this to Mike in the break, that one of the most ironic pieces about the affirmative action case, right, is not just that Clarence Thomas, like, indisputably was a very clear beneficiary of affirmative action and has said so himself. But the other thing that's really ironic is that Brett Kavanaugh was a legacy admission to Yale and like said during,
don't think he would have made it on his merits.
I'm good at beer. No, he said during his confirmation hearing, I actually looked up the quote because it's so good. I got into Yale Law School. That's the number one law school in the country. I had no connections there. I got in there by busting my butt in college. No, no, Brett. No, sadly, that's a lie. Your grandfather, Everett Edward Kavanaugh, of the Theta Chi chapter of the SSS Society, somebody found the yearbook, 1928. Everett Edward Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh's grandfather, attended Yale. Brett went to Yale as an undergraduate. Guess what percentage of Yale undergraduates are legacy admins?
Ooh, probably a big chunk.
Yeah, 25%. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Wow.
So, like, it's affirmative action for white people.
Yes.
Rich white people.
Rich white people.
Yeah. Yes.
People when will whose a parents rich white rich guy catch your brain? Yeah, I mean, damn it.
Let's get to the phones while there's still time. Rico likes it when we call him Papa Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Say hi to Maggie Dawn. I hear you're going to the Brewer games on some Maggie Dawn tickets.
Hey, yeah. Thanks, Maggie.
You better be glad you said you were taking... You better be glad you said you were taking your grandkids. She was just about to take them back.
Oh, I know. I saved them. Hey, you know, but I got, hey, little story. If I got time now, guys, listen, it's all, you guys are all in this story. Back in April, you gave me some tickets for some Brewer games, Curdy, thank God. And, I got two grandkids. So I took the oldest one, you know, and, you know, Papa's got to go, right? I got to drive. So I got in this predicament because the youngest one, he will play catch with me until my arm falls off. His name's Cameron. And he says, oh, I showed the pick Braden up that day we went to the game, and he looks at me like, oh, you, what are you taking him for? He don't play catch with you, you know? And I'm like, oh, I'm in a predicament here. And so anyway, long story short, he was over last night, and you guys were on, and I said, well, Papa, you know, he looks at me, he says, Papa, are you going to win those tickets? You said you were going to win tickets for me, Papa. And I'm like, well, they're not really giving them away, buddy. You know, the Devils aren't really doing it tonight. These are the guys. I had you guys on the YouTube thing. He goes, oh, those are the guys. And he was checking out the radio anyway. And I said, I don't know, but he looks like they're not giving them away. He looks at me like, some radio guy you are, you know. And all of a sudden I said, we still
Rico,
have hope.
Rico,
we're the villains of this story, Rico.
You saved my day, Maggie, because you came out and said, oh, I'm going to give these tickets away. I said, I don't know. I got a chance, kid. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome, hon.
Enjoy the game. Happy 4th. How did I become the villain of Rico's story?
I don't know, but I like it.
You fit the part, man.
Pizza Box Mike, welcome back, man. You got your big show rolling out at 7 o'clock. Outside the pizza box, but what's your early thought?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I think I'm going to tear it up and probably Robin Voss in the process. When I heard him say, oh, he may huff and puff, because you know how tough that Robin Voss is, right? Wouldn't want to run into him during the apocalypse, would you? Anyhow.
No, I would. I'd take all puff. His stuff.
It's the purge.
He wouldn't last long at all. I don't even know. Anyway, so... You remember when I used to sit outside his office and huff and puff on that vuvuzela? I got half a mind to get a bus of 50 people that can blow that thing till the end of Maggie Dawn's show. And everybody go to Robin Boss's house on that bus and blow and blow and blow and take that civil disobedience ticket. No problem.
What was it? Isn't there a biblical reference somewhere there? Some horns of Jericho or something? Tearing down the walls.
I don't know. Dom and I are like, don't
tear down
that.
The wall. No. That was Pink Floyd.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. Different album.
Outside the pizza box right here on the Civic Media Network. Find him on WMDX, our flagship from Madison, Mad Radio 927. Find it on the shiny new Civic Media app. Mark from the SAC. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. And Scott Walker, the guy who completely violated Wisconsin law until the Supreme Court and the Republicans.
He had me violated.
That little ass out. That it is just disgusting that now they're going after the commission they created to, you know, bail Scott Walker's butt out. That it's just disgusting. That and got to twist the law however they want, and it is just remarkable. And I wonder if they...
Short on time. Have a wonderful 4th. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Don't blow off your fingers. One thought.
If you've never had a Supreme Court case, decide if you have the same rights as others. You're privileged.
Ah, thank you, Maggie Dawn.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is CBS.